You're listening to the Stress in the City podcast, a self-care resource for the busy and burned out. I'm your host, voiceover artist Brittany Nicole, and each episode, I'm breaking down adulting. Because what's more stressful than being an adult, right? I'll share the best books, methods, and tips to help us all figure out how to do this life thing better. Ready? Let's start the show. Hi, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Stress in the City. This is your host, Brittany Nicole, currently recovering from COVID, which is why my voice sounds the way that it does. But we're gonna work with it. So I had a totally different episode planned. I had been doing and gathering a lot of information on attachment because that's what I wanted to talk about. But I'm just going to be vulnerable for a moment because there's another topic that I think is a little bit more relevant for me right now. And I think in this day of, you know, social media and everyone having digital lives and comparison being such a huge threat to our mental health that I actually want to talk about imposter syndrome today. I am someone who, as introverted as I am, I like to entertain. I like to perform. Don't put a microphone in front of me because that's it. Which is why I'm doing this podcast, which is why I like to sing, which is why I do voiceovers, because I like to perform. There's something so vulnerable and scary about putting yourself out there creatively. And I know that I've talked to some of my friends that are artists, and it seems to be a thing that, I mean, not only artists, because I know people in business struggle with it too. Putting yourself out there, I was going to say creatively, but putting yourself out there, period, feels really scary at times, especially at the beginning. And, you know, I'm new as a podcaster. I'm new as a voiceover artist. And a lot of the things that I'm doing in my life right now is new. And so sometimes even the best of us, we get this voice in our head that's like, why are you doing that? Nobody's listening. Nobody cares. You're not interesting. You're boring. You don't have anything to say. That's stupid. Like we doubt ourselves. We talk ourselves out of things that we want, or we talk ourselves out of being seen. Imposter syndrome is about fear. Fear of failing, fear of not being good enough, fear of being judged, criticized, fear of being incompetent or being, you know, exposed as incompetent. And I think that fear can lead us to overfunction or underfunction. You know, overfunctioning can look like being a perfectionist, thinking that, you know, you have to hold yourself to impossibly high standards. You've got to be in the best shape and the most beautiful and the most funny and the most charming and the smartest and have the most money and the nicest house and the nicest car in order to be worthy, in order to be, you know, worthy of being seen. Or it can look like avoidance, you know, procrastinating so that you, if you don't finish something, you can't say you failed at it. I was watching Michelle Obama's documentary earlier today, Becoming, which is about her book tour for the book Becoming. And she was saying how the day that she left the White House, she was relieved of, you know, having to be perfect for the last 8 years. And I can't imagine that level of having to, you know, keep this coiffed, perfect, elegant, charming, errorless image on that, you know, that magnitude, that level of scrutiny, that level of visibility, the pressure that she must have been under. And, you know, I'm not saying that you have to be the first lady in order to experience having to feel like you're perfect. I think a lot of us feel like we have to be perfect in order to be valuable, in order to be perceived as valuable. I noticed myself doing that. I didn't really think that I was a perfectionist, but I think a lot of the standards that I hold myself to, aspiring to be excellent in whatever I choose to do, it is an internal pressure. I think another way imposter syndrome shows up in our life is by holding back. You know, whether that's not saying things that you mean or not speaking up for yourself, even not setting a boundary, I feel like is a form of imposter syndrome. Like, I'm not allowed to set boundaries. Why would I do that? Who's going to listen to me? You know, why? I'm not important enough to have a boundary, so I'm just not going to say anything. Or intentionally trying to not be noticed so that you're not judged. I think there are a lot of things that we do as humans when we don't feel worthy of whatever we're aspiring to. From some of the research that I've done on imposter syndrome, and what I also believe to be true, as far as where it comes from, having an upbringing where your point of view was wrong always, your opinions weren't ever validated, or you weren't allowed to have an opinion. You were not encouraged to speak. You were not listened to. And in your formative years, didn't have the opportunity to develop a strong sense of self. So in your adult years, your sense of self struggles until you decide to do something different about it. I don't know if that's the case for everybody, but it certainly makes sense to me. What do we do about it? How do we find better ways of dealing with imposter syndrome? I'm having imposter syndrome as I'm saying that, because how am I going to tell people how to have imposter syndrome when I have it? How to deal with imposter syndrome when I'm dealing with it right now? You know, in the spirit of authenticity, I'm not going to sit here and speak as a therapist on what you can do and what you should do. What I can say is what I do and what does help me. One, acknowledging it. Running away from the feeling by throwing myself into cleaning makeup brushes isn't going to help me, you know, get accomplished what's actually important to me. So acknowledging the feeling for me is the first step. Sharing it. Brené Brown is one of my favorite researchers, and she does a lot of research on shame and vulnerability. She's got like amazing TED Talks and books. And she always talks about how shame can't exist, you know, when it's exposed. When you're sharing your vulnerability with someone else, that tends to take the shame out of it, because we realize we have this shared experience with other human beings. And that is why I am having this conversation now about imposter syndrome. And I encourage you to have conversations in your circles, you know, whether you have entrepreneurs or artists or, you know, corporate job having people in your circle, like ask them, you know, do you ever struggle with feeling like you don't know what you're doing? Or people are going to find out that you don't know what you're doing, or feeling like you have to pretend to have it all together. I guarantee you that there's nobody on this earth that, I won't say nobody because there's probably some narcissistic people out there who are like, yep, I'm perfect, everything's fine. But I'll just say, pretty confident that a reasonable person is going to be able to relate to what you're feeling. I'm pretty sure a reasonable person is going to have had some experience with feeling like an imposter at some point in their life. Nobody's born an expert at anything. Another thing I do, walk. I didn't really do much walking prior to the pandemic. But because I, you know, we were trapped in the house, there was not much to do, I started walking a lot. And now it's something that I do daily. I do daily. It's a part of, I don't even necessarily walk for fitness. I walk for my soul. Like, if I'm stressed, I walk. If I need to analyze something in my mind, I walk. I love to walk and listen to audiobooks or podcasts or YouTube videos, walking and learning, walking and thinking, walking and praying. Like, that is really a great way for me to process my feelings. The best way for me to process my feelings is on a walk. And, you know, I when I am feeling unworthy or other feelings, that tends to be my number one go-to. Another thing I think really helps with imposter syndrome is habit building, learning how to build a habit. I think you should start there. Learn how to build a habit. And from what I've found, the best way for most people to build a habit is to go very slowly. Like, whatever you think is slow, half that. And that's probably the pace that you should start. And then when you feel more confident, you take more on. I remember hearing before, and I thought it was so dumb. I honestly thought it was dumb. But I think it was a book or a YouTube video that was about building habits. And it was discussing, like, okay, let's say you want to build a habit of going to the gym. Well, if you are going from being totally inactive, is it really realistic to say, I'm going to go to the gym every day from now on? No, you're not going to uphold that. Then you're going to get disappointed and you're going to start avoiding the gym probably because now you feel guilty for not, you know, keeping up the goal that you set yourself up to. So start smaller than that. And this is hard for me because I tend to, I'm very goal oriented. Like, I make a Google sheet for myself every year with my goals for the year and the quarter. I like to set my weekly intentions. Like, I'm that type A. So I make my goals too big sometimes, and then I get discouraged when I don't reach them. And one thing that I'm starting to do, and I found that this really worked with weight loss for me, is setting smaller goals. Habits, really. Instead of just it being, you know, I have a goal, but I break down the goal and what is the habit that I need to have in order to accomplish this goal. So I had a goal last year of losing 30 pounds. And losing weight has been such a challenge for me with my hormones and my body situation for a long time. And, you know, I have done keto, I have done vegetarian, pescatarian, waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning, dance classes, you know, multiple times a week, kettlebell training, and none of those things ever worked for me. You know what actually finally worked? Walking. Walking. And it was a slow process. It was a slow process. I had this thing in my mind of like, okay, I'm going to lose a pound a week. That didn't happen at all. But you know what did happen? One day, all of a sudden, I was down 10 pounds and I didn't do anything but walk as far as exercise. I did a lot of other things nutrition-wise, which I think really helped. But the important part was I was consistent. I liked walking, which I mentioned previously. So I kept doing it. And then I graduated from walking to, you know, okay, I'm going to start strength training more. And strength training was something that I hated doing, hated. And now it's something that I'm like, I don't feel right if I don't do it. But every time I started with what was really unnatural for me, like I'm going to do a kettlebell workout 3 times a week, that didn't stick. That didn't stick. So build your confidence by building habits slowly but surely and being realistic about where you are. And that's okay. You know, you can always improve your situation. You don't have to go from 0 to 60. Just do something a little bit better. Do something a little bit better and you just get more and more comfortable elevating yourself. So I think that helps. It's helped me. Another tip I have for imposter syndrome, and before you just like tune me out, just hear me out. Okay. The first time this was suggested to me, I was like, that's whack. I don't believe in that. I'm not doing that. It sounds stupid. I'm not doing it. Affirmations. I know. It sounds so corny. It sounded so corny to me too. Like you want me to just say a phrase over and over. But after doing a little bit of digging into it and the science of it, it makes sense to me. And I also notice something that happens in the process of me doing it that I feel like is revealing. So affirmations are basically repeating a phrase to yourself, an empowering phrase to yourself. Like one of my affirmations, I don't remember where I stole this from, but one of my affirmations is pleasure is my birthright. And this is why I like affirmations. I do feel silly repeating something to myself over and over again. But when I say something that I don't believe, I ask myself the question, why don't I believe that? If I say pleasure is my birthright and I'm like, I don't even believe that. Why? What do I believe my birthright is? Pain? Suffering? You know? I think the benefit of affirmations is over time asking yourself why you don't believe it and getting to the answer of what that is allows you to process that doubt out. And eventually you get to a point where you're saying it and you're like, yeah, that's true. Instead of like, pleasure is my birthright. No, it's not. It's like, pleasure is my birthright. Yes, the hell it is. And I have seen that transformation with myself with certain things. So I'm introducing a new segment called Social Says, And the intention is to take the conversation off of my podcast and into the real world by way of social media. And, you know, I'm a very curious person. I'm always looking for answers. And I think a lot of my life, I was always looking for answers in books and experts and gurus. But a lot of things that I've learned, admittedly, have been from other people and their experiences of being a real life human. So this segment called Social Says is where I will be taking whatever the theme of this episode is. This one obviously is imposter syndrome, and getting some feedback from people online via social media to see, you know, what their experience is with it, what their coping skills are for it, if they even know what it is, etc. So I polled my audience and I asked, do you ever struggle with imposter syndrome? And the results were kind of split. I got 60% of people that said yes and 40% of people that said no. I do think, though, maybe I should have asked the question first, like, do you know what imposter syndrome is? Because I think that there's a lot of simple ways that it shows up. And outside of the poll, the conversations that I had with people, even some of the people that said no, they don't struggle with imposter syndrome, did detail, you know, moments in their life or things that they struggle with pushing through because they feel some kind of block or they don't feel like they belong to whatever they're trying to do or whatever community they're in or whatever job they're in. So that just tells me, you know, it's a part of the human experience. And I think that sometimes that's all we need to know, is that we're not alone. So as my audience grows and as my experience with engaging with an audience grows, I hope to be able to get a little bit more interaction. And I fully realize that, you know, asking people, do you struggle with imposter syndrome, is pretty fear inspiring. So I appreciate everybody that did participate in the poll and shared their stories. And if you are listening and enjoying the Stress in the City podcast and you follow me on Instagram, I highly encourage, please share your stories. I think that this, you know, for me, I don't want this to just be a podcast about me talking and whatever I think I know about life. I would like this to be something that stimulates conversations in your life, in your group chats, and with your friends. And I try to do the same thing. That's the Carrie Bradshaw in me. So I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this episode here. But I do want to do a little recap of the things that we've discussed that are kind of my coping skills for dealing with when I'm feeling like an imposter. So the first thing was acknowledging the feeling, not running from it, not distracting yourself from it, but sitting with it and saying, I am feeling like a fraud. And, you know, then we can start to ask ourselves why. The second thing was sharing that feeling. And, you know, I don't think I said this earlier, but making sure to share it with someone safe, someone who's not going to you know, use your vulnerability against you, but who is going to be able to reciprocate and sit with you and that feeling and just be there, you know, just listen, not necessarily offer correction or advice unless that's what you want, but someone who can maybe open up and share their own experiences with feeling like an imposter in areas of their life, because I think that shared experience can be very healing in and of itself. The other thing I mentioned was walking. I use walking as a way to process my feelings, and I have found that it helps me think and it helps me get perspective. And I didn't mention this earlier, but I actually read a study that showed that walking while processing thoughts or processing feelings helps you to literally get, like, think outside the box. It increases more divergent thinking. So you're more likely to be able to think differently than you would in motion than if you were not in motion and, you know, going through your thoughts and feelings. So I use walking as a way of managing all my feelings, but also particularly imposter syndrome. The fourth thing for me is learning how to build habits. Actually, I'm going to put 4 and 5 together because it was learning how to build habits and building habits slowly. I think there are a lot of great resources on building habits. One of my favorite books is Atomic Habits. I'm not finished reading it yet, but I've gotten really a lot of gems out of it. And I think the principles about, you know, shifting your, instead of focusing on your goals, focus on the kind of person you want to be and creating habits around that identity is kind of the concept of the book. But it's a great resource for learning how to build habits. And then once you start building those habits, do so realistically and slowly and really be patient with your progress instead of looking for an immediate result, because nothing, you know, great happens overnight. It just takes time, and you just have to be patient and have vision and keep working at it. And then the last thing I shared reluctantly, my own my own awkward relationship with affirmations, but my true belief in affirmations, which is, you know, creating an empowering phrase to redo the programming in your mind. We have these tapes almost that play in our mind that are our beliefs, and sometimes we don't even know why we believe the things that we believe. So saying an affirmation that's challenging to what your belief is about yourself helps you to understand why you believe that and decide if you want to change it. It's really powerful, although it does feel very awkward. And when I'm walking and saying affirmations, I definitely have my headphones in and pretend I'm on the phone, because I know that I would look strange if I didn't. It is what it is. So those are my tips for dealing with imposter syndrome. Thank you for hanging with me on this very impromptu, vulnerable episode, unplanned episode of Stress in the City. And I'll talk to you next time, friends. So that's it for this episode, but our fun doesn't have to end here, friends. The after party is on Instagram. You can follow me at It's Brittany Nicole. I'd spell it out for you, but it's in the show notes. And I post a lot more self-care content. I post some of my voiceover content there, so come and hang out with me there. And if you're loving Stress in the City, please leave a 5-star review. Lets me know that I should keep going, and the encouragement is always welcome. So thank you again for listening, and until next time, friends.